This is a production of Cornell University.
So we're going to gavel in the University Assembly's organizational meeting for the academic year 2016-2017 to order. So the first order of business is the call to order, and then the second is introduction and welcome. I'm Gabe. I served as interim chair over the summer. This is Ed. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Ed Baptist. I was interim vice chair, executive vice chair over the summer.
Yes. And Pilar Thompson was the vice chair for operations over the summer. She is not a member of the assembly anymore. And then Nate?
Chair of, president of the Graduate Professional Student Assembly. I was just the ranking member.
Yeah. So, to returning members, welcome back to the Assembly, and to new members, welcome to the University Assembly. So, with that, the first order of business on the agenda is the election of the permanent University Assembly Chair for the session. And so, with that, I'm actually going to turn it over to Ed, so that, because I'm nominating myself to stand in election.
We have one nomination, and so the floor is open for other nominations.
I'll second your nomination.
Okay, thank you. So we have a nomination that's been seconded. So hearing no other nominations, do we still need to proceed with a secret ballot per the rules?
Do we need to proceed with it? Yeah. Oh, we had this issue at the end of last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
So, this is sort of how things work in my department too. So, we don't get this passed much by acclamation. So Brian Murphy is passing out the ballots, and you can. Mark them with a name.
So you should mark them
with a name or
a name.
Gabe or no.
Right.
Gabe or no. Should become an issue. I think I would just ask any members of the assembly who feel that that's becoming an issue to point that out, but we'll also try to do that from the chair as well. And then we'll proceed like that. Okay.
have 13 votes for Mr. G. Kaufman with one abstention. So I think we can declare him elected the UA chair. So congratulations or condolences, case may be. And I'll turn the gavel over.
I'm so bad.
Okay, so thank you. The next order of business is the election of the executive vice chair. And so with that, I will open up the floor to nominations.
I nominate Ed.
Okay. Is the nomination seconded? The nomination has been seconded. If you accept,
I will accept unless somebody else nominates. In which case, I will stand down.
Are there any more nominations? With that, the floor is closed for nominations, and we will hold a confirmation election by secret ballot for the executive vice chair position. And we'll pass around the ballots shortly. Did everyone be sure to cast their ballot? Did we miss a couple? I can come to like, I probably should have cast those.
I'm chair. I'm president.
Oh, okay. So the Ed has been confirmed by a. I'm not supposed to announce it, but he's been confirmed, so he's the executive vice chair. Okay. Now, one quick note is that all executive committee members have to be from different constituencies. So the vice chair for operations is going to have to be either an employee or a graduate student representative. It can't be a student or a faculty member. So. With that, I'm going to open up the floor to nominations for the vice chair for operations.
The new boy is Nate.
No. I cannot accept. I'm too busy.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Motion's been seconded. Kevin has been nominated. Are there any other remaining nominations? Okay, with that, I'm going to close the floor for nominations, and we are going to have a confirmation election for Kevin Fish to be the Vice Chair for Operations.
I know, right?
This is just for the executive team. We don't have to do this for the other positions.
Yeah. The voting?
For once we're done with the executive committee election, the officer elections, for committee elections, and appointment of liaisons, it can just be, if only one person is nominated, then we don't have a whole
election. We nominate the chair and two members.
Yeah.
One chair.
I'm coming back.
Chair.
You can close your mouth. Surprise, surprise, Kevin Fish is the Vice Chair for Operations. Okay, great. And now the process for actually choosing the ranking member is slightly different. The remaining constituency is actually going to caucus and determine which of them will be the ranking member. It's not, we don't actually have a ballot election.
Yeah.
So you guys determine.
Yeah.
So it's you? Okay, so then that's it. Then we don't... Yeah, so we don't have to have a ballot election for that. So congratulations. Excuse me if I'm can you pronounce your name? I don't want to mess it up.
Rena.
Rena?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Rena, on being the ranking member. Okay. So the next order of business is the committee elections. So as we know, we have three standing committees, the Cozen Judicial Committee, the Campus Infrastructure Committee, and the Campus Welfare Committee. We have we elect the chair for each of those committees as well as two members. One thing to keep in mind, it's not a requirement, but it is, I think, advisable that we make sure that as you know, to the extent possible, the membership comes from multiple different constituencies. So that's just something to keep in mind while we have those elections. So with that, I'm going to open up the floor to nominations for the chair of the Codes and Judicial Committee.
I nominate Mitch.
Mitch? Is there a second?
Oh, thank you.
Actually, by accepting it, I think that's an implicit second. Are there any other nominations? Okay. With that, I'm going to assume that Mitch, congratulations. You are the chair of the Codes and Judicial Committee. So next we'll be electing the two members on the Codes and Judicial Committee, so we can appoint two other members from any constituency to the CJC. So I'm going to open up the floor to nominations for that as well.
I know, could you explain the structure of the committee?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So the structure of the committee is the CJC has 11 members. One of those members is the chair. So the chair obviously must come from the University Assembly. And this is actually the same structure on all of our standing committees. So the chair has to come from the University Assembly. Two members are appointed by the University Assembly from the University Assembly. And then each assembly is allowed to appoint one member from their constituency. It can be anyone. And then another member from their assembly. It has to be from the assembly. That is not the case for the faculty position. Faculty positions are by appointment from the dean of faculty. So it is also advisable to the chairs of the respective assemblies in the room sure that you have lots of things on your agenda, but as quickly as possible, let's constitute the rest of the UA assemblies. Are there any questions about what the CJC does or about who are about the structure?
So actually my question is, this do they have regular meeting times? Or do they meet at the
It depends. So I would say last year, I was the chair last year, but the chair of the CJC, the CJC would schedule to meet on the Tuesdays that the UA didn't meet at from 4:30 to 6. Sometimes that worked out, sometimes it didn't. There were meetings that took place at ungodly hours, and then there were meetings that took place in that time frame. But it really ultimately is decided by the chair of the committee, and you know, to best make sure that all the assembly members can, or all the committee members can make it to the meetings, that's when the time will be scheduled. So it's dependent on when the committee wants to meet and what issues arise. Professor Hatch.
Could Matt perhaps give us an idea of what he thinks are pressing issues, having had some experience?
Hitch?
Hitch, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. So I think right now we need to definitely continue looking at the Bill of Rights, the Community Bill of Rights, and how that's going, because the task force was implemented last semester. And so we need to make sure that that's succeeding as it should be. There are four members focused on that. I also think that we need to just review the code in general, because there's like some constituencies, at least I know in the student community, that has some complaints about some certain roles that we need to, so we need to do a lot of outreach. And I think that other communities, like the employee assembly and the grad assembly, we need to make sure that we're doing outreach in their communities to see what they can change. And I think, so those are the two main things I think that the assembly, as it is, the committee needs to work on for next year.
If I may just answer the question that was asked about the timing, because we clerk the CJC meetings because of the discussion on the campus code, we don't clerk the other two standing committees, but we would ask to make sure that the LC assembly is tied in very tightly to whenever those meetings are scheduled.
Yeah. Okay. So, are there any other questions about the committee? Ed?
I would just suggest that maybe we could talk quickly about what the other two standing committees do, so that people who are maybe not sure which one they want to stand for would have a little bit more background about that.
That's a really good idea. So, seeing as the former chairs of the committees are actually all in the room, why don't the former chairs actually speak a little bit about the committee? I believe you were the chair of the Campus Infrastructure Committee last year. Do you want to speak about that? You know more than I do.
I'm a horrible chair. In fact, I was chair of the conjunction of what was happening in other committees and also the new president, things like that, came into play a lot. But I would expect that this year we'll attack again sustainability and hopefully be in a position to advise the new president on sustainability issues on campus.
Yeah.
I have a question. So on the Campus Infrastructure Committee, have you guys talked about like the deferred maintenance issues like that are looming on campus?
No.
In the past, the Infrastructure Committee, I mean, a great deal in my past, that was only 3 years ago, had talked about that, had talked about transportation and other matters of that related to the structure, facilities on the campus.
Like
and, so it's part of the portfolio.
That's what I said 2 or 3 years ago.
One follow-up is how does the Campus Infrastructure Committee fit within the structure? I know there's other groups on campus that are working on it. I don't know, does Campus Planning Committee do something similar but related, or like how does it fit into the larger mosaic of committees?
That was actually one of the problems in defining a unique thing that the
way of thinking about how a campus develops, traditionally speaking. There are construction issues that they can talk about, things of that sort, and displacement of people and plan and filtering through all the requests from the different deans. So my point in saying this is that if someone on the UA, which is a representative body of the entire campus employees, considers that it's important that in the long-term plans for the university, we think about issues like, is it a sustainable building? Does it have all the carbon neutral, is it trying to be carbon neutral or efficient at least in that area? And would like to have that issue be brought forward in those deliberations, then that's useful. Now, it can be done both at the planning committee level, or it can be done separately with resolutions from this body. And the infrastructure committee would be the one that that prompted that. And that would then go to the president the way the divestment resolution did, and went to the trustees the way the divestment resolution did.
So I can see that there are a few people who want to speak on this. I'm going to keep a speakers list. If you want to be on the speakers list, please raise your placard, Professor Howard.
Just one more quick background piece of information. In part because of the actions of the UA and others to some of these poor divestments, the university has endorsed the idea of being carbon neutral by 2035. And Provost Kopikoff last January set up this group called the Senior Leaders Climate Action to make that happen. I'm a member of that. They refused to take an official UA rep on it, but they did appoint me. And I'm on the executive committee of it, and we're reporting to the provost this week on our report. I think there'll be a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that over the coming weeks to months, not immediately, that the UA should have a voice on, and the campus infrastructure committee seems to be the logical thing for that.
Okay. Is there anything else about you? Okay.
Definition of infrastructure is very, very broad in defining what the committee does. You know, first, I didn't think that divestment was part of infrastructure myself, but it's a good forum to look at things that could broadly impact infrastructure, you know, maybe not directly, but a little further down the line.
Yeah. So we're going to, so before we can hold the election for the Campus Infrastructure Committee, we're actually going to hold the election for the CJC members. But onto the Campus Welfare Committee. Ulysses, did you want to speak about a little bit about how the Campus Welfare Committee's Welfare Committee works?
Yeah, sure. Like infrastructure, we have a very broad welfare, a lot of things. So we actually met weekly over lunch. It was great. We always had lunch, which was fun. And we tackled quite a few things last year. And Matt and Jordan, you were there, so forgive me. Let me know if I missed something. I know we brought a couple of resolutions to the UA that were both passed. One was the universal restroom that got one pressed in at least. And then we ended up doing the worker conditions in Qatar resolution, also came from Office of Campus Welfare. We also had a couple meetings with the JDA coordinators, and I can meet with the JDA coordinator team. Got quite a bit of information, lots of, what, about 800 page reports and all types of studies on the accessibility of each of the buildings around the campus in order to prioritize kind of our need to actually make a lot of those buildings accessible and to look at things about budget models for how to get those buildings in place. In concert with thinking about the deferred maintenance issues as part of the problem, so pursuing that long term would be and then we looked at, I think, somebody, Natalie, I want to say from the GPSA, she, actually both of the GPSA members brought up the structure of diversity offices around here, and I had to kind of divorce myself from the, we're talking about my office, thinking about how to more so kind of like centralize some of the resources and make it known what the different diversity offices were, make sure they were offering the same thing, very soon they're pretty good constituent groups, they're able to propose to. The university officers on that topic, and the year ended, so there was no resolution on it. But there are a couple other LGBT specific initiatives that we did, and a couple of disabilities, like the web accessibility policy is another one that we looked at, so, which actually there are a lot of executives. So, I mean, it's the nature of what you choose to make it about the agenda, the members to your thing. Each of the members brought other things in, and that also had their mental health issues on the page that came up. So, if the search right, if you have an opportunity, you need to find what it is you want, or you have an opportunity to
Yeah. Another point I wanted to make is that it's strongly encouraged that every member of the assembly serve on at least one committee or in the capacity of a liaison to at least one other organization. Usually the presiding officers of the other assemblies are excluded from that, but if you're not a presiding officer, it's strongly encouraged that you try to serve on a UA committee. It's not required, but it's encouraged. So with that, are there any other questions about the standing committees and the membership or what they kind of encompass?
Is there a problem with serving on more than one committee?
No.
Okay. So worrying about conflicts and timing if we're going to do a lot of weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's been rare that two committees have met at the same time. Usually that's not the problem we have. Yeah.
Well,
it's I think this is the best way to say that. Yeah.
Or the executive.
Executive committee counts as a committee.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're on the executive committee, you're more or less exempt from that. So with that, I'm gonna open up the floor to nominations for the remaining two seats on the Codes and Judicial Committee.
I nominate Becker.
I accept.
Okay.
I nominate Rebecca Hatch.
Sorry.
I nominate
Nate. I'll do it.
Okay. We have two nominations. Are there any other members? Okay. Well, with that, they will be our representatives on the CJC, and I will forward that. I'll keep track of this and send a list out soon after the meeting. So, okay, let's move on to the Campus Infrastructure Committee. Are there any nominations for the chair of the Campus Infrastructure Committee? Okay, there's been a nomination for the chair of the Campus Infrastructure Committee, and it's been seconded. Are there any other nominations? Okay, with that, the floor is closed to nominations. Congratulations, Jeremy. I will open up the floor to I'll stop saying that. It's getting annoying even to me. Okay, two seats, Campus Infrastructure Committee. Who wants them? Okay. So you self-nominate?
Yeah, second.
There's a second. Any other nominations?
Okay.
So we have and Marie. Anyone else? No? Okay. With that will constitute our Campus Infrastructure Committee. Okay, the Campus Welfare Committee. Are there any nominations for the chair of the Campus Welfare Committee? One of the most productive committees. So.
When the faculty are like, it's constantly getting dangerous.
Let's assemble this one at a time. So are you nominating yourself to be, or you've been nominated? It seems like you've been kind of collectively nominated. So do you accept that? Okay. So is there anyone else who would like to stand for election for the chair of the Campus Welfare Committee? No? Okay. No. So with that, congratulations again, Ulysses. And I believe that there's been a nomination for a membership position. Professor Lowe?
Yes.
Okay. It's been seconded. Is there anyone else? There's one more seat. So. Okay. Jordan. And anyone else? No? Okay. Well, with that, our standing committees are constituted. Do you have something to say?
Just a little bit of history, once again, I'm involved in history. When we revised the constitution for this organization, the university assembled prior to that time was involved in the pantry store, it was involved, it actually had seats, and it was involved in planning in some way, events. It was the campus planning committee was a university assembly committee at that point. This is 10 years ago or more. And what was worked out was that since there were many administrators engaged in these areas, the university assembly would then reform itself around these three committees. Cogendish was always there, but the other two. And they would take on different sectors of the representation that they had in these particular areas, like campus store and site plan committee. And so what I'm trying to say in this is that it means that our role is as significant as we want to make it, a role in campus governance. And we hear this word all the time, flattered around, you know, all campuses. But here it was really important to 10 years ago, and when this opportunity was made to reorganize, it was meant to keep the importance of the role of the community in governing intact, but in a different vehicle. So these committees are not, yes, they're advisory to a certain extent, but they also have a certain power as much as they want to give and get. So I suggest that you guys have taken on great better responsibility.
Thank you for that note. So we will now move on to the appointment of our liaisons. Brief overview, there's the Transportation Task Force Liaison, Policy Advisory Group Liaison, Council of Sexual Violence Prevention Liaison. It's, I believe, been changed to the Student Health Advisory Liaison, and then the Campus Planning Committee Liaison. Those are our liaisons. I've only served in one of those capacities, and so I only know a little bit about one of them. Is there anyone here who served in one of? I know you were the campus planning committee liaison.
I was, and just a point of order, and the campus planning committee has informed me that my appointment there as a liaison was for 2 years.
Yeah.
So they think I'm still on for this year. Which is okay by me if the UA wants to do something else.
I would have to check the bylaws. I believe that appointments are for 2 years, but you're technically not a voting member. Have you been voting?
Not yet.
Okay. I think, from what I understand, it was like an ex officio membership position, but I'll have to check that. Thank you for pointing that out. There's still a question as to whether or not the campus planning committee is, if there's a seat open. Do we want to wait until next week to do that, and I can check with the chair of the campus planning committee to do that? Is there a consensus around that, or do we want to do it now?
I think Bob is willing to serve for another year.
Okay.
If he is
so,
a person, I suggest that he would be
a person. Okay, or we could do it now.
I was going to say make a motion to do a provisional vote that even if it did turn out that he wasn't able to, that we would appoint him anyway.
I'll okay. There's a second. Now we'll by unanimous consent. Do we want to approve that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's been approved. You'll be on the planning committee no matter what. But I'll check on the terms. that's an important thing. There's a transportation task force liaison. Are there any nominations for that? We do. I mean, we do need one. Thank you very much. Yeah. So then there's the policy advisory group liaison.
When do they meet?
So I actually am still on their listserv. They meet like once a month at weird times. the day, but I guess weird for a student maybe. They've always met when I've had class. They meet 2:30s a lot. Sometimes they once they met during a UA meeting. So that actually was a problem once. But it's a really interesting committee, and probably one of the most, I would say, important liaison positions we have, because they, like any policy that gets revised by the university, gets impact tested in the policy advisory group. So this, a lot of it has to do with staff positions and staff policies. So it's a really interesting committee. So are there any nominations for that?
If I can add one more comment.
Oh, thank you.
There's actually written into the university policy that all policies are brought to this body. The liaison is that conduit. So as policies are being developed for the university, the liaison to the policy advisory group is the person to bring it back here. But there's actually a box that needs to be checked to make sure that as policies are developed, they're brought back to the university.
Yeah, that might be something that we want to look into improving in the future. But thank you. It is, yes. Nate?
I was going to nominate Rena.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you accept?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's been a nomination. Are there any others?
And when you were not able to make it to the meeting, what do you do?
Usually you just don't go.
Okay.
Yeah. there were like 14 or 15 members. It changes. They change their membership every meeting depending on what policy they're doing.
Okay.
When I realized I wouldn't be able to do it, I actually turned it over to actually a former GPSA representative. So we usually like to have someone there. We could appoint people in your absence if you can't go, because it is important.
Okay.
So yeah, so I believe Rena is our new policy advisory group liaison. Okay. The Council of Sexual Violence Prevention Liaison. Are there any nominations for that?
I have a nomination to make. So Jack Frost, the other GPSA representative, she couldn't be here today. She'll be at all of our other meetings. But she was interested in that position. So I'd like to nominate her in that position. Okay.
Are there any other nominations? Okay. Well, with that, Jack Frost will be our new nominee to the Council of Sexual Violence Prevention. We also have the Student Health Advisory Liaison. Are there nominations for that?
Can I nominate myself? Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay, then Jordan, congratulations. You are our Student Health Advisory Liaison. And our final, we already did Campus Planning Committee. Well, then that wraps up our appointment of liaisons, committee elections, and our officer elections. So are there any late additions to the agenda or anything that anyone would like to bring up for discussion?
I have a question.
Cool.
So if we wanted to change the UA charter or bylaws or interested in edits, who is the person to talk to? Is it the vice president for operations now? Is that the...
Usually the executive committee
in general,
that would probably be the committee that the changes would go through. But usually if any changes are looked at by the chair, vice chair for operations, and executive vice chair, and probably the ranking member, just because, you know, why not throw them in there.
Okay.
But yeah, so, Becca?
I'm new here. I don't know if anyone else is, so if you like short introductions, just saying.
That's a really good idea. And Gina brought that up at the beginning. I'm sorry we didn't do that. If you want, why don't we start around and go clockwise?
I have a question. Before we do that, can you just clarify about tags real quick? But it's not university assembly, it's university assembly. Are you looking at stakeholders in the tag process or in the policy revision process? So it's easiest to come to the UA with the liaison. However, like just this last year, I mean, we've got some staff policies that passed. It's because of the Secretary of Streamlining Initiative. So HR was very, very, very much like, we need to cut some policies. So that's why there were so many policies. But more often than not, you know, not every policy is going to need to come to the UA or the FA. Or, like, I don't really get to hear about our employment policies all the time, or whether or not we get time off or pay for things like that. So, but they're listed as a stakeholder, if somebody's listed as a stakeholder process. So, ideally,
ideally like Alan Bishop from HR comes to campus meetings, and we actually have a committee that works very closely with Alan Bishop for those. So that's how that's the process. So 6.4, for instance, that made much more sense to come before the UA. It doesn't mean that any of the assemblies actually approve them, or actually, I mean, you can choose to vote on them or not, but I just want to be clear that it's not, don't leave the other assemblies out.
Thanks for bringing that up. So let's start with introductions. Marty?
I'm a graduate school professor, having taught music and Asian studies for 40 years, and retiring from active teaching in 2014. I was on the UA 10 years ago for 4 or 5 years, and rejoined a couple of years back. Involved in various sustainability like food access, local agriculture. I had a farm for 40 years while I was here raising sheep and vegetables. And that's about it.
Thank you very much.
I'm up in the College of Veterinary Medicine. I teach nothing but undergraduate physiology. Freshman course, 360 students, work on color vision, my research area. I've been on the UA like forever, except for 2 years, and I was doing some other things. Before committees were reformed, I served on most of the committees that were around, chaired the CJC for a number of years. I like the University Assembly, and even though a lot of times it's just a lot of talk and information, it has some power, most of you weren't around when it, but I would push that we should be exercising more of our power just to see what we can do. I don't want to do it, but we used to have fiscal responsibility written in our charter, fiscal responsibility for the campus store, for Gannett, for religious work, and for parking, which wasn't transportation at the time, fiscal oversight. And I just said, let's say, go parking fee for the next year and see what happens. And nobody wanted to push it. All those disappeared.
Well, I can tell you what would happen is everyone would buy parking tickets and then no one would be able to park.
They would have to come to report to us. They would have an annual report, and the head of the campus store would come, and we'd ask questions like, well, wait a second, how come every 2 years you're changing everything around, spending a bunch of money rebuilding things? What happens to the campus store having books instead of every place having an eatery, overcharging for coffee? And said, no, we're going to cut off your money, so you can come. That never passed either. That was troublemaker. But I've been on the UA a long time, and I enjoy it. I don't want to leave.
Great.
Bob Howard. I've been here in the faculty for 31 years. I'm in the Department of the College of Evolutionary Biology. I'm in the College of Arts and Sciences for 12 years until they moved me to the College of Ag and Life Sciences. So I'm kind of both. I'm an Earth System Scientist. I work on climate change and large-scale pollution issues. I teach the freshman ecology class of 250 students. I teach the graduate biogeochemistry class. I was one of Cornell's representatives last year to the COP21 climate negotiations in Paris. My third year on the University Assembly. I think I'm here. I'm also one of the faculty members.
I'm trying to apologize for government and arts and science is another one.
Is your name?
There we go.
Hi, I'm Becca Hurd, the student assembly rep. I'm a junior, 10A, and I'm also on float day, so if you have any advice on float day, I'll look here.
Vishal, I'm the student clerk for the Office of the Assembly. Senior animal science pre-vet.
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm a staff member in the Office of the Assemblies, but I graduated from Cornell in May, and I manage really anything to do with technology or data for the Assembly, so something like that.
Gina, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Gina Giamatista, I'm the director of the Office of the Assemblies.
at all of the different constituent assemblies, and then also here to provide logistical and logistical support, operational support, archive, make sure that the public record is maintained. Brian has worked really hard on helping us integrate some new technology to make a lot of the public comments and access to the records a lot easier. So we're working on technology overhauls and making things easier for you all to do your job. But the checker of the process and the attainer of the record.
That's a good way of putting it. Thanks. I'm Gabe. I'm an undergraduate representative. I'm the UA. This is my second year. My third year in shared governance in general, and I'm a junior in the ILR school.
I'm Ed Baptist. I am a history professor. I'm also the house professor at the Carl Becker House, which actually is where Gabe lives. So his essentially his RA works for me. So if you have any problems with Gabe, me and my staff can make his life miserable. but that's not actually my job. Is house professor, sort of the opposite of it. But my own research is the history of slavery in the United States and its connection to capitalism, which is, in my opinion, a lot closer than most of us in the U.S. are always comfortable thinking about. I was really interested in what Professor Lowe was saying, and I do want to point out that the world of textbooks is changing rapidly in ways that are actually, I think, exploiting the students quite a bit. And I would just say that that might be something for the UA or its committees to think about whether or not that's something we want to see happening to our undergraduate students. Particularly, I'm thinking about the homework codes, which have just emerged in the last year or two as a way for publishers to extract a great deal of money. Anyway,
Rina, I'm one of the GPSA representatives, fourth year PhD student in linguistics, and originally from Indonesia.
My name is Nate Rogers. I'm a fourth year PhD student in mechanical engineering. I'm from Northwest Ohio originally. I don't say anything more specific because no one knows it. I went to Miami University in Oxford, Ohio for my undergrad, and I have a degree in manufacturing engineering and mechanical engineering. My research here is on the mechanical properties of thin metallic films, so if you're interested in stuff like that, like optical coatings, decorative coatings, like hit me up, my jam. But I'm also the president of the Graduate Professional Student Assembly. I've been in shared governance since I came to Cornell back in 2013. So I was a field rep for mechanical engineering for 2 years and then the vice president for operations for the GPSA last year. And when one of the things I've been cheerleading pretty much right along has been building more personal relationships among people in shared governance and with the broader campus and off-campus community. So one of the things I want you to take back to your constituencies is I'd like to get more opportunities for members of the GPSA to kind of mix and get to know some of the members of your assembly, so whether it's the faculty senate or the employee assembly or wherever. We're trying to work on something with the student assembly right now. Because I think, you know, although the UA is great and there's a lot of formal power kind of associated here, I think sometimes shared governance at Cornell isn't working effectively. It's working ineffectively because people are just kind of unaware of each other and kind of what each other is doing, and we just don't know, we isolate ourselves even when we don't intend to. So I'm trying to break some of that down. So, yeah, that's my thing.
I'm Jordan. I'm a senior in the ILR school, and I'm the current president of the student assembly, and I've been involved in shared governance for 4 years. Sorry, that's my fourth year. In the past 3 years, I'm parliamentary.
I'm Jeremy Cruiser. I'm a employee assembly rep. Been with the University of Vermont in my fifth year now, though I just changed jobs working from solely faculty and staff to working pretty much exclusively with student admissions. So it's a bit of a change. I'm a tech geek. I do coding and work on processes that accept all of the applications that come into the university and the processes into the together a little bit more. We're thankful that we've gotten Ulysses this year. We actually learned a lot from his experiences with the student assembly, and there's some ideas of, wow, wish we had thought of that before. So there's some good crossings that I think can happen, so that's great. On a personal side, I am involved in a lot of green initiatives. I'm working on my own house to approach zero carbon, and we've installed solar panels that serve 100% of our power. We've just switched over our heating over to electric on-demand tankless for water. So really working on how do these things actually work in this area and what kind of results are we going to get from them. The area particularly of plastic waste has been big on my list lately. It's one of my soapboxes that I'll try not to get up on right now. But when you walk into places and look at the amount of what is called disposable that never goes away and just gets dumped into our environment, and you start actually seeing that, it becomes painful to walk into a supermarket and see the amount of damage that we're doing on a daily basis. So I'm starting to look at municipal homes, and I'm starting to look at some ways that Quesnel, as kind of a leader in these areas, can continue to push the envelope a bit and really show other organizations that it is entirely possible to be both sustainable and a proper business and make ends meet. They don't have to be at odds. So one of the things I want to look at. I also have recently been working with the employee assembly and some of our diversity initiatives. For me, the last few years of Black Lives Matter has really struck home with me and has caused me to do a lot of looking to myself and what can I do to bring my own education up to the level I need to. All over the place. I can't stop raising my hands for things. So that's why I'm here.
We're all staff.
Well, I'm Kevin. sorry, there's a lot. This is my first time at Employee Assembly. I've been here 25 years. Environmental Health and Safety, and my fourth day is Radiation Safety here on campus. Other than that, it's just funny. You can go to work, and for me it's an hour to get home, and it's up and it's done. And I decided, well, I'll figure what's on the other side. So really that's what struck my interest. I am a town supervisor up in Cortland. And stuff. So the governing part, we actually could find that, you know, you do make a difference as long as you have certain people and, you know, your residents and stuff involved. And so I thought that I could actually do something. Yeah. That's why I'm here.
So Linda Kaufman is not here. She's our fourth representative. She actually had, before she realized she was appointed, she had another commitment that she had committed to. She worked in the office for the, well, she works for the Vice President of the National Affairs, as well as this. She's right around the corner from me in Great Hall. She's fantastic. She's from Hawaii. So if you ever email from her, she will always be choosing from Aloha. And she's really fantastic. She's a former candidate for the Electric Trustee. Hopefully next meeting will be I'm Ulysses Smith. I was suckered into becoming the chair of the employee assembly this year. I don't know what you're talking about. But it seems to be a pattern in my life. I don't know. I am very, very happy to have inherited a fantastic group guide and really helped me in terms of direction. I did my time at Cornell. I got a degree from your architecture college and also got a degree in government. I was very loud as an undergraduate. Did 5 years on the assembly, the FA, and ended up becoming president last year because I was still not they hired me. and so I actually serve now. For better or for worse, I work right for Mary Offerman. I work in the Department of Inclusion and Workforce Diversity. I serve as the university's lead diversity and inclusion strategist. So our model, we have 5 diversity officers and they lead, so kind of like the CEO of type feel. So I determine the university's overall direction in terms of direction. So I'm that weird place where compliance obligations meets the normative what should be, what should we be doing. So I oversee tech while and the campus. So I feel everything from affirmative action all the way up to a lot of policies, my interests was really I was more interested in the policy behind design. An undergraduate, so I focused a lot on participatory government structures and creating access to institutions for undergraduates in the franchise group. So hence my essay being my thesis in a way. Trial and error, practice. Learn a lot of things that don't work. And why people don't like participatory government because it takes so long. I think it's the most effective model that we see. I also serve as I'm also very involved in a lot of policy writing for the institution. Every assembly last year got at least one resolution from me, whether you knew I wrote it or not. I try to make sure that any policy that we're doing or anything that we're thinking about goes through the assembly before it actually makes it to other folks. So like the LGBT stuff started with their name, now you can do ID cards and all that type of stuff. Started with the DA and the upcoming school. I also serve as one of the Title IX coordinators for the institution. So I receive all initial reports of bias, discrimination, protected status, harassment, and sexual misconduct that is stated by Dr. In addition to sexual assault, sexual harassment, which is why I was very, very heavily involved in the position of the report. So I have reports from each of the supporting biases, so we know only those who need to go to anybody else, determine where it needs to go. General workplace concerns that we have to areas and use that data to really inform our strategies going forward to the civil institutions that we know where we should be focusing our attention. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
What don't you do?
Sleep. you will know. I will not answer emails after a certain time. I don't answer emails after a certain time. Oh, emergency. Call 911, don't call me.
Wow. I'm Marie Drews. I work at the Med College as a staff member. This is my third year, I guess, in shared governance. I was on the employee assembly for 2.5 years, kind of finished someone's term and then had my own term. And then I finished Greg Medley's term on the UA for a few months last year, last academic year. So I really was fascinated by the conversations by other topics that the UA touches upon, and I feel like it gives me a picture of the university. You know, and the EA is a thing, and then sitting at my desk is another very, very small world, and I wanted to expand that world and see what's going on outside of the med school and really outside of accounting. But I don't do accounting. Don't be alarmed. I work in the accounting office, but they don't give any accounting tests. There's a reason for that. And I've been here for about 10 years, but I've lived in Ithaca for 28, so I've been here for a long time.
All right. Very cool. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Do we want, I see we have some guests, thanks for bringing that up. Do the guests want to introduce themselves and speak a little bit about their, because both of them are actually previous UA members. So how about, Matt, do you want to go first?
I'm Matt, I'm a common junior, STEM major, and I'm
great. Look forward to having you.
Hi, VJ Cisco. I'm the associate director of the alumni program. So, students will hear from me soon. Thank you for getting after you graduate. I am the current executive vice chair for the employee assembly, and I'm the former chair of the institution. So, you have me to thank for
class.
So we're wrapping things up soon. Just a few notes. On a personal note, I can say I'm one of the things that always strikes me about the UA that I think is really fascinating is it's very, very rare to get so many different people inside of one room, and I think it's really cool that we can have such good conversations. Not despite coming from different backgrounds, but because of it, and I think that that's really cool and something that's really special to the UA. Procedurally, we're going to have our first official meeting next week. This was just our organizational meeting to get our committees staffed. Ed and I will be sending out, Ed will be sending out the formal call for agenda items. I don't think there will be that many, but if you have something you wish to put on the agenda, make sure that it's forwarded to Ed. And then we will have our first formal meeting next week, same place, same time, and then we'll move into bi-weekly meetings, you can use that word in two ways. We're going to have two meetings a month, once every other Tuesday. Is there anything else anyone wishes to discuss, Professor Hatch?
Is it possible to have a list of the committee appointments posted?
Yes.
Within the next day or two?
I can draw that up and forward it out to you guys.
With contact information, email contact information, and one of the things, is it possible, once again, to have those committees, or at least the nascent, ones that have been formed here, meet before, I know it's only a week away, right? It's a week away?
It's a week away. This is technically our organization meeting. We weren't supposed to have this.
And there's their names. Well, not for Ellis, but I was suggesting for everybody. No, okay. Anyway, as many of them as could be would be at least virtually, if not with email contacts to so that when we have our meeting on the 6th, people will be a little bit more plugged into. What the committee structures or what committee missions might be to think a little bit together. I, for example, would love to get together to think a little bit about the infrastructure committee and what it might look
like. And from my part, at least, I'm more than happy to share you with all of my contact information. I'm always on messenger services and whatnot, so you're always welcome to get a hold of me.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So the only reason I say that is it's a shame to have these appointments and everything else and then have very little or nothing on the agenda for next week.
Well, it's a week away.
There are a lot of things to do. There are a lot of things to do on the agenda.
Yes.
And if we start thinking about them early enough, we might get some of them.
Yeah. I think a week away is a little tough.
Why do we schedule just a week?
So we weren't supposed to have an organization. So normally the organizational meeting is held in May.
Right.
For a number of reasons, we held our organizational meeting now instead. So this was not technically an official meeting. So next week is our first official first meeting.
Right.
So this is kind of an ad hoc meeting. So that's why. That being said, if you guys can meet, I encourage you to meet. I don't expect it, though. So,
I guess I would suggest, and maybe I'm being too aggressive about this, probably am, but that at least the chairs think about and bring to the meeting some kind of agenda that they might think is useful to pursue, having acquainted themselves with their commission.
You can find all the contact information on the dashboard, and I would encourage you to actually log into the dashboard and, I just got my staffing confirmation. Look at you all at work right now.
On the staffing wall.
We share an update on our committee.
Yeah, right.
And also, I know that for the EA, I know we have our EA chair that serves the meeting.
Yeah,
we will.
I'll settle with
that. We have one. That's an option for you to communicate about that.
I know I already said this, but I think it's important to reiterate. I know Professor Van Loan, the Dean of Faculty, isn't here. we can get the committees staffed by the membership as soon as possible, that would be really helpful. I know in the past sometimes we've had trouble getting representatives from the different constituencies onto the committees, but I hope we can avoid that problem this year. And then the only other thing is there's one vacancy on the assembly, and that's a student vacancy. The SA will be holding an election for that in mid to late September. Does that start September 16th? So that seat will be filled. Ryan, did you have something you wanted to add?
I kind of forgot. I was going to say, we'll update the listservs with all the staffing we have. I know the EA and the SA have staffed their constituent appointments. I think they're easy. Have you guys yet?
No, and actually, our process takes a little bit longer because we still, so the way the GPSA works, and this is why we should talk more to each other, all the assemblies kind of work very differently. But the GPSA kind of had last night our first official meeting, and that's kind of an orientation. But the core of our membership comes up from field representatives, and a lot of the fields haven't actually sent representatives to the GPSA yet. So the GPSA as a whole has 19 voting members, but we're waiting on like 100 like field reps still. And then once they kind of get on board, then we solicit appointments to like the UA or the UA committees and stuff like that. So our process takes a little bit longer. So we won't be sending people to some of these committees for a little while. I wouldn't expect those right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the heads up, Professor Lowe.
Something just quick, relevant what Marty said, that is, these standing committees aren't necessarily self-generating in what they decide they're going to look at. They in fact, take on things that are assigned to them by the rest of the UA as well. So if there's anything to do with welfare, we don't need to necessarily wait for you to list these two people who have only every day anyway, to come up with an agenda for things for us to do. If anybody in the assembly or your assembly has something that would be appropriate for the UA welfare committee, well, you should let
the
one of us know.
Yeah, or the representative know.
Do
you think it is heavily unlikely that any of the committees will meet the board next week? Should we forego that meeting and wait for the next one?
Usually the next meeting is when the chair gives a presentation on the what the committee, like, you know, the kind of history of what the committee did last year, kind of bringing the assembly up to speed. I anticipate it being short, but I think it's good. Otherwise, we wouldn't meet for 3 weeks, or we would have to change the schedule. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was going to say, I have some stuff, so we might also take this opportunity where, even if the individual committees can't meet, we might take this opportunity to look at the university assembly itself, because, so, you know, you might have noticed that the GPSA only sends three members, including the president, to the UA, and then at the end of last year, we had a little bit of interesting dynamics with like membership, and it showcased some conflict in the charters between the different assemblies and the university assembly, and I think we could maybe address some of those kind of organizational concerns at the next meeting as well.
Yeah, that was my thinking.
So we'd be able to hit that even if the issues aren't coming out from the standing committees. That in the meeting that follows that, we can get all the UA stuff behind us and focus strictly on the issue. So that was kind of my hope.
Yeah, I feel like Nate read my mind there. Because any bylaw or charter changes are going to take at least two meetings. So if any bylaw or charter changes are proposed, it's better to get those out of the way as soon as possible, because the process is going to take 2 weeks at the least, and probably more. So I think that starting hitting the ground running with those is good. So I'm in favor of making sure there's a meeting next week to get that out of the way.
Yeah, and I would also add that we do some of that work.
from their respective assemblies are discussing in those assemblies issues that seem to pertain to, that could be talked about campus-wide, constituency-wide, mixed constituency-wide, bring bike transportation issue. I'd love to have that sync with other things that we're talking about with infrastructure.
Yeah, I was already taking down Kevin's information.
Great. Okay. Is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up? Then, with that, the
to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Okay. I'm going to ask that we approve by unanimous consent. Then the meeting is adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.